Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
We are in the middle of a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. Today we begin looking at the fifth commandment. And this commandment marks a shift in our discussion of the Ten Commandments. And here's what I mean by shift. The Ten Commandments can be divided into two sections, two tables, two tablets. These two tables give us Jesus's summary of the law. In the Gospels, in the New Testament, when asked by the religious leaders what the greatest commandment was, what the greatest law was, Jesus answered this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor. Now, the first table, the first Ten Commandments, which we've spent the past 3 months looking at, focus on God. They focus on our relationship with God. They show us how to love God. And as we have seen, they show us how to worship. And the last six commandments focus on our neighbor, focus on those who are around us. The second table shows us how to love our neighbor. Now, the first table is first. The first four commandments are first for a reason. The commandments have a proper order. Love of God comes first. Love of God comes first in our lives. You can't truly love your neighbor unless you love God. True love of neighbor flows from love of God. And the truth is, you really can't do either unless you've experienced God's love. The truth is, we don't know what love is. We don't know what true love is, real love, until we've experienced the love of God shown in Jesus Christ. And that love was revealed on the cross. The cross shows how the Son of God was willing to serve you. He took upon himself the punishment you deserve, punishment for sin, for disobedience, death. True love, real love, is selfless, sacrificial. And until you know it, until you experience it, you can't love, you can't truly love God or your neighbor. Well, the fifth commandment marks our move from the first table to the second. The fifth commandment marks our move from focusing on God, the vertical, to our neighbor, the horizontal. The fifth commandment functions as a transition. In this command, God shows that love of neighbor begins in the home. Love of neighbor begins with the family. You learn to love at home. You learn to love your neighbor at home. And loving our neighbor starts with the first primary relationship in life. Now, ordinarily, and I'll speak about this qualifier later, ordinarily, it starts with the first relationships in life given by God: a child and a mother and father. So loving your neighbor starts with this: honor your father and your mother. Honor. Well, let's look at this word, honor. The Hebrew word for honor, kaved, literally means heavy, weighty. Not heavy or weighty as in on a scale, but importance. heavy or weighty due to someone's position, heavy or weighty due to someone's role, office. Honor means to give due weight to someone's position. Honor means to hold someone in high regard due to the heaviness of their role. Honor means to esteem, to value, to prize, to respect. Therefore, to honor parents is to give them due weight to their position, to hold them in high regard because of their role. In fact, the same Hebrew word for honor is used over and over again for God's glory. God's glory is the weightiness of His divine majesty. God's glory is the heaviness of His authority and power. Therefore, children are to treat parents in a way that is comparable to how we treat God. Comparable. In other words, just as we are to give glory to God because of who He is, just as we are to give glory to God because of the weightiness of who He is, we are to honor our parents because of who they are. We are to honor our parents as a recognition of the weightiness of their position, as a recognition of their God-given role and authority. This is why the fifth commandment is the beginning of the second table of the law. This is why the fifth commandment is a transitional commandment. It's transitional in that even though it describes a horizontal, person-to-person relationship, neighbor-to-neighbor relationship, there remains an element of the vertical in the child-parent relationship. Now, not that parents are gods to their children. Now, that analogy has led to untold abuse. But parents are to imitate the love of God to their children. Mothers are to model the love of God to their children. Fathers are to emulate the love of the Heavenly Father, the love that He has for His children, so that they can point their children to the one who has given them their position, who has given them their authority, who has loved them with an everlasting love. This is the ultimate purpose of parenthood. This is the ultimate purpose of being a mother and a father, to point your children to the Heavenly Father, to help them to know and to help them embrace His love for them. Honor your father and mother. Give weight to your father and mother. This commandment is broad in its scope. Honor, respect, esteem, prize, value, all words that encompass many things. I mean, they include feeling and action, attitude and act, words and deed. And the fifth commandment, this commandment is not just for small children or young children. It's effective as long as your parents are alive. God wants you to honor your parents when you're 4, and when you're 24, and when you're 44, and when you're 64. And how that honoring is lived out changes over time. Now, the attitude, the feeling of honor toward a mother and father should remain the same, but the acts change because the relationship changes. How that honoring is lived out changes because the relationship changes. The relationship with your mother and father changes over time. You know this. You grow. You mature. You become independent. Therefore, honoring your parents looks different when you're 21 and you're being educated than when you were 1. Honoring your parents looks different when you're 34 and married than when you were 14. It looks different when you're 54 and caring for aging parents than when you were 24 and just starting out on your own. Now, one of the best examples in the scriptures of honoring one's mother and father is found in the book of Ruth. Now, it's interesting that this book is even in the Old Testament. First of all, it's named after a woman who's not even an Israelite. Ruth was a Moabitess. Ruth was from the country of Moab. Ruth married into God's people. She married the son of an Israelite woman named Naomi. And Naomi and her husband were from Bethlehem, but due to a severe famine, they moved from their home to Moab. But after 10 years in Moab, Naomi's husband died, and both of Naomi's sons died. So she decided to return to Bethlehem. She decided to return to her people. And Naomi gives Ruth, her daughter-in-law, to remain in Moab and to remarry, to start her life anew. But Ruth clings to Naomi, and she speaks these words to Naomi, these words found in Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Honor. Now, Ruth goes with Naomi and lives in Bethlehem. Ruth cares for Naomi in Bethlehem, and eventually Ruth marries and has a son who would become the grandfather of King David. And Naomi is blessed through Ruth. Ruth, who's not an Israelite, Ruth, who's not one of God's people, who had been gifted the law, Ruth honors Naomi, her mother-in-law. Now, the truth is, not all of us can honor parents the same way Ruth did. Honoring will look different in each of our lives, depending on our own unique relationship with our mother and father, depending on our proximity to our mother and father, depending on the stage of life of our mother and father. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, as Paul writes in our New Testament reading from Ephesians, this is the first commandment with a promise. The fifth commandment has a promise attached. If you honor your parents, you may live long in the land. Now, for God's people gathered around Mount Sinai, hearing this law for the first time, this meant long life in the promised land. This meant long life in the land that God was leading them to, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, their God-given land. But this Hebrew phrase, live long in the land, can also mean the fullness of God's blessing. So for us, it's not a guarantee of living until we're 99 or 100 or 120. It's the promise of God's blessing. It's the promise of abundant life. It's the promise of wellness in life. Our reading from Ephesians shows this in verse 3. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. Well. Now, God gives us a command. Honor your father and mother. God attaches a promise to the command, the promise of abundant life, a promise that benefits us. So why do we struggle with this command? Why have we struggled with this command? Why is it that no matter what stage in life we are at, there are times when we struggle to honor our parents, times when we struggle to respect our parents, obey our parents, be grateful to our parents, seek out the wisdom of our parents? Why is it that the culture in which we live often promotes dishonoring parents? Well, the simple answer is sin. The right answer is sin. The fact that our hearts do not work properly. Instead of working as God created them to work, instead of working as God designed them to work, instead of being centered upon God, and instead of being focused outward, loving God and loving our neighbors, including our parents, our hearts are often turned inward. Our hearts are often self-focused, self-centered, self-seeking. And in the case of this commandment, it's not just the sin of one. It's not just the sin of one person, which complicates life enough, which provides plenty of challenges. It's the sin of three. The sinful hearts of three people must be taken into account with this command. The child, the father, the mother. First, as a child, no matter what age, we struggle to give honor. And we talked about this in the first commandment in relationship to God, but it applies to this commandment as well. Rather than give honor, we would much rather receive honor. We want to be the center. We want to be the focus. We want to do what we want to do. We think we know best. We get caught up in the moment. And that's true for parents as well. Now, some of you, like me, fit in both categories. You're a child. Your parents, or at least one parent, is still alive. And you are a parent. So as parents, too, we struggle with sinful hearts. We want to be the center. We want to be the focus. We want to do what we want to do. We think we know what's best. We get caught up in the moment. So the sinfulness of parents makes it even more difficult for children to give them honor, makes it even more difficult to keep this command. As children, our hearts struggle to give honor. And then the things that parents do and the way that parents act make it easier not to give honor, not to follow this command. Well, this is also the reason for what I mentioned earlier. When talking about the primary human relationship, the child-mother-father relationship, I said ordinarily. Ordinarily, the primary human relationship that God gives is between a child and a mother and father. This is God's design. This is what God desires. But as you well know, the sinfulness of parents can shatter this relationship from the beginning. That's why there are abandoned children. That's why there are children taken from homes. That's why there are children with single parents. That's why there are children raised by grandparents, and on and on. In circumstances out of the ordinary, this commandment, the fifth commandment, is followed when you honor those who take the place of a biological father and mother. You honor your adopted mother and father. You honor your grandmother who raised you. You honor your foster parents. And look, this commandment, the fifth commandment, just like the others before it and just like the others after it, show us how sinful we are. It reveals how much we struggle to love, even at home, even with our own families. As children, we struggle with giving honor to our parents. As parents, we struggle with loving our children and being worthy to receive honor. But this commandment, the fifth commandment, just like the others before it and just like the others after it, show us how much we need a Savior. We need someone to heal our broken hearts. We need someone to cleanse us from our sin. We need someone to love us and show us how to love. We need Jesus. Jesus is selfless, sacrificial, forgiving love shown on the cross. Show us as children how to love and honor parents. Parents who are far from perfect. Parents who are sinful. Parents who need forgiveness. Just like us. Jesus is selfless, sacrificial, forgiving love shown on the cross. Show us as parents how to love and honor children, children who are far from perfect, children who are sinful, children who need forgiveness, just like us. The fifth commandment shows us that learning to love starts at home. It starts with the family. And learning to love requires the love of Jesus, the selfless love of Jesus, the sacrificial love of Jesus, so that we can live in his forgiveness. Live as those forgiven and as those who forgive. Forgiving our parents and giving them honor. Have you forgiven? And if you are here and you no longer have parents or you don't have children, love the family of God. Through faith in Jesus, you have a Father in heaven. And you have brothers and sisters by faith. You have a family of faith. Love and serve your family. Love and serve them with the love of your Savior.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.